This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. Good afternoon. It's great to have you with us for the Monday edition of the Noon Business Hour as another trading week begins. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. Gray skies around Chicago. We're expecting a high temperature of 71 today. It's 63 at O'Hare and 62 at the lakefront.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's kick things off with an update of Wall Street. At Bloomberg, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we have gains across the board for stocks after the U.S. and Canada came to terms on a trade deal to replace NAFTA. The S&P, in fact, did push to a record high. It's come down a little bit from there. Here are the numbers. The Dow up 211 points, or almost 1%, to 26,671. NASDAQ gaining 14, and the S&P now higher by 15 points to 2929. The number to beat at the close would be 2931. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index sliding slightly lower. A measure of manufacturing activity in the U.S. cooled in September from a 14-year high, that from the Institute for Supply Management. And meantime, Elon Musk can stay CEO at Tesla. Wall Street likes that. A settlement with the SEC over his tweets about taking the company private does say he's not allowed to be chairman for at least 3 years, but he can keep that CEO post. Musk and Tesla will each pay a $20 million penalty. Tesla shares are zooming higher by 16% right now at $307. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, a Chicago grocery store chain is closing after 55 years. We'll have that in our next segment.
We'll also have analysis of the trade deal between the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Also, Stock Picker Monday. An investing pro will join us to give you some advice for your portfolio. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
All six locations of the Treasure Island food stores in Chicago are closing. We'll cover that in our next segment. Right now, the U.S., Canada, Mexico have crafted a deal to replace the North American Free Trade Agreement. Let's learn more about it from Paul Christopher, head of Global Marketing Strategy, Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis. How did the three of them actually finally get together, Paul?
Well, they did it by the U.S. focusing first on Mexico, the easier of the two to make a deal with, and then the two of them ganging up basically on Canada to force some concessions. The U.S. also made some concessions to Canada. I think the Canadians feel like they got the best deal they could as well. But it's good to have this 24-year-old deal up to date.
Okay, so what is the significance of what they've agreed upon?
The significance is principally that automobiles that are sent into the United States from Mexico and Canada will now have a larger percentage of parts that originally came from the United States, as opposed to parts, carburetors, ignition switches, and so forth, that might have been made in other countries outside of North America and then shipped to Mexico and installed in a car that's sold in the U.S. It will help create more jobs in the U.S. For those particular parts. So that's a big deal. As well, the Canadians made some concessions on the dairy side to help farmers in Wisconsin and in the northern plain states to sell more dairy products into Canada.
Does a pact like this with three parties, can it be totally fair to everyone?
Well, probably not on any particular issue. Someone will win out on a particular category or industry. But overall, then the U.S. maybe makes concessions to the others on other things. And so one hopes that in the end, it's fair enough that we can continue to see trade grow among these three important countries as it has since it was created in 1994.
You see this as a net job creator here in the U.S., especially some of those middle-class manufacturing jobs, or is it just not that significant in that area?
I'm not convinced that it will be. I mean, I just got done saying that cars sold in the U.S. will have more U.S. part content in them. But you know, when you figure out that the U.S. has higher wage rates for creating those parts in the first place, it means that car prices are probably going to go up. So what would you do if you were a buyer? You might look more carefully and more favorably at a Korean car or a Japanese car or perhaps a European car.
What does the fact that this deal has gotten done, in spite of obviously some tense talks, what does it say about the possibility of getting some other new trade deals done?
Yes, I think that's also helping to boost the market this morning, is the fact that we got this deal done with NAFTA. It's been out there for 2 years. It's been very contentious. A deal finally got done now. It means that we only have to show the Europeans that we're also serious about compromising with them. And then once they're on board, then it leaves really just the Chinese on the wrong side of the aisle from President Trump. And I think at that point, it's possible for the Canadians, the Americans, and the Europeans all to collectively say to the Chinese, you know what, we really don't think your practices of taking U.S. intellectual property and European intellectual property and Canadian is very fair, and we would like for you to make a compromise on that. And so their chances for that kind of a deal, I think the market would believe, are increased today as a result of nailing down one of the open questions that was lingering out there.
Taking a look at the economy, we got some information in today on manufacturing and construction. The ISM manufacturing index hits almost 60%. Tell us about these numbers, what they mean.
Yeah, so ISM is a survey of manufacturing confidence in the economy looking into the future. That confidence has ebbed a little bit. It's come off a little bit, but it was at very high levels to begin with, and it indicates to us something that we've been seeing in other data, which is probably that the economy's 4% pace of the second quarter is not sustainable. We do think the economy is going to continue to grow solidly, simply not quite at such a fast pace.
Thanks for joining us today. Paul Christopher is head of global market strategy at Wells Fargo Investment Institute in St. Louis.
Coming up, the more than 50-year run of Chicago's Treasure Island food stores is coming to a quick end.
A deposit for your future. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
The six locations of Chicago's supermarket chain Treasure Island Foods are closing, and it will happen within the next 2 weeks. Let's talk about the surprising announcement. Bridget Sweeney is joining us, consumer reporter with Crain's Chicago Business. Thanks for being with us, Bridget. So this does seem like a bit of a surprise, and it's happening quickly. What have you been able to determine is going on here?
Hi, Cisco. Yes, it did come as a surprise, I think, to many shoppers on the north side. Actually, there was a 7th store in Lincoln Park that shut down in September on Clybourne Avenue. But those signs and the communications they sent out to people there kind of insinuated that, you know, it was going to be relocating and staff could transfer to a different location. So very much making clear that location was shutting, not the whole chain. Of course, last week they told their employees, hey, the whole chain is shutting down, and the signs for sales and all sales final began popping up this weekend. So it was very sudden, I think. I think a lot of the store employees who I spoke to just in my local store in the Gold Coast, you know, they seemed sad and surprised, frankly.
And is this simply competition, really tight margins? Is there something specific to Treasure Island here? I mean, obviously, the grocery space is really competitive.
Absolutely. All of the above. The letter from the owners to their staff announcing the closure did reference the competitive landscape, but did not go into detail. But as we have long known, the grocery industry is a razor-thin margin business, just, you know, so tiny. And with this, all of these changes in the past 5 years, you know, dating back to the exit of Dominick's from the market, but then on a larger scale, just the kind of influx of online shopping, of Amazon, you know, obviously tying up with Whole Foods these days, and this huge influx of free or low-cost grocery delivery services that makes, quote-unquote, old-school markets just really have a hard time competing, especially because back in the day, Treasure Island was kind of one of the original European-style boutique grocers, kind of paved the way for Saks Nobel, which is obviously now also gone. But their claim to fame was very unusual, surprising ingredients and products that you just simply couldn't find elsewhere. You certainly at that time couldn't just, you know, pop online and order it. So now their kind of differentiation is falling apart, and consumers, even ones who have a lot of disposable income, are very cost conscious because they're able to price compare so easily and run online and say, oh, I can just, you know, throw this order on Amazon and save, you know, $1 on this and $2 on that. So it makes the game for places like Treasure Island much more difficult.
Bridget, Treasure Island is not offering severance payouts for paid time off or benefits for its corporate employees. Is this unusual?
You know, and that's something I've not been able to really confirm or talk about. The family is not responding to comment or responding to requests for comments. They have had fights with unions in the past. They've tried very hard not to unionize, whereas other large grocery chains are, of course, unionized. So I do think it may be a worst case scenario for Treasure Island employees than for employees of, say, a Safeway. But again, without confirming with anyone there or talking, it's hard to say. But again, 700 employees, a lot of whom have worked there for a long time. They're not highly paid employees, many of them. And, I don't think it's hard to say that they are going to have an easy time finding comparable jobs quickly.
Bridget Sweeney, always good to have you on the show. Good information. Bridget is consumer reporter at Crain's Chicago Business. Up next, an update of the markets from Bloomberg.
WBBM News Time 12:25. Let's check the markets. Sponsored by FinancialEngines.com. Here's Elisa Peretti.
Chris, we have gains with the Dow up 214 points or almost 1%, NASDAQ advancing 22, and the S&P up 16. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is slightly lower. Crude oil futures up more than 2% to $74.94 a barrel. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
The signing of agreement with Canada finishes off NAFTA. Makes other trading people think maybe they need to give a little. But weather forecasts are wetter. Harvest is ongoing and good yields, but we have corn up 9.75 to 10. Beans up 15 to 16. They've been up 18.5. But higher grain prices across the board on good usage here right at harvest. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete, with Business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 12:30. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Markets are rallying today after the United States, Mexico, and Canada reach a tentative trilateral trade agreement.
It's Stock Picker Monday. We'll get a couple of suggestions from an investment pro.
Retailers are looking to staff up for the holiday season, but workers may be hard to find.
U.S. Supreme Court turns down an appeal by former Bolingbrook Police Sergeant Drew Peterson, who was hoping to have his murder conviction overturned.
On Wall Street, the Dow is up 210 points. NASDAQ is up 20. The S&P up 15. Oil today is almost at $75. It is up more than 2%.
63 degrees right now at O'Hare, 62 at the lakefront with a little bit of a haze, but also some sunshine.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park.
It is a winning day on Wall Street so far. We are joined by Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Management Capital, and Fox News business contributor in Orlando. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Gary. Who are the players today? Who's making some moves?
Well, the story is trade and the deal with Canada. The trade stocks like Boeing is up 10. That's accounting for about 70 Dow points and a lot of Dow names today. The one big thing I'm watching closely on the negative side is while the Dow's up over 200, the small caps, the Russell 2000 and the mid caps are down pretty decently. So it's not the most broad-based of move, and financials continue to lag badly. So it remains a very narrow market regardless of how strong the Dow is. And by the way, the advanced declines on the New York with the Dow 205 is 16 to 17, and on the NASDAQ is 13 to 17. So underneath the surface, not so great.
Yeah, when you talk about the small caps, explain what it is that worries you.
I like broad-based rallies. I like things going in sync with each other. I like large caps and small caps moving together. And there's a word we call divergence. When one thing goes one way and the other goes the other way, it usually is negative connotations for the near term. So it's something that I'm going to watch very closely over the weeks ahead.
Would you have expected the markets to rally even further, given the fact that not only is this deal done, but maybe that means that we might get other deals done in light of the fact that this one's settled?
Well, I think that the market's been in good stead, even though it's been on the narrow side. Our market's been the strongest market or a developed market around the globe. Other markets completely underperforming us. So guess what happens when that happens? You have money flows out of there and into us because, you know, it's called performance anxiety by all the managers. So I think you're seeing some of that, and it's continuing today. And really, bad news has not been sold down, and good news has been bought up, and that's what makes decent markets. And again, that's what you're seeing on a day like today.
So some of these stocks impacted by the trade deal, stocks that are having a good day today, is that an investing opportunity or is this a blip and we just have to see where they shake out?
Well, with the Boeing, I don't think it's a blip. I mean, the stock's been doing great. It just took a rest for about 8 months, which is normal after a Dow stock doubles over a short period of time. So, no, I think this could be for real, but again, we have a lot of things coming up as we move forward. Interest rates are moving up. You said it earlier. Oil prices are backing up. Every 10-cent move in gas prices at a pump over a year's period is $10.6 billion out of the pockets of Americans. That can affect things over time. The Fed, of course, is raising rates too. So, and of course, there's something called a little midterm election. So definitely there are things that can change the playing field. But right now, Dow's acting well.
GE is having a very good day, and this comes after the CEO is dumped.
Yeah, well, a surprise. Well, what's happened really is the new CEO that they had was not doing a real good job. He's been very slow. And in the announcement today, GE actually warned on guidance going forward, and the board had had enough. And the reason why the stock's up today is they're hiring the guy who turned around Danaher, which is DHR on the New York Stock Exchange. So they're hoping that he's going to do the same thing. There's a lot of work to be done with this company. They need to really tighten things up, get rid of some business, and get back to what they're best at throughout the years. And it's been too slow. The other thing I think is you're going to see the dividend cut again. I don't know when and by how much, but that's my prediction probably in the next 90 days.
How do you think that impacts the investors that have maybe been thinking about GE as it's continued to fall and wondering, you know, how low can it go? What does that lower dividend mean for them?
At this point, I think it may be factored in. But again, I don't know to what extent. I'm not so sure I'd be buying it here, even at $12. You know, sometimes bear markets go a lot farther to the downside than anybody ever thinks. And this is probably the worst. This is the worst acting stock. They actually had to take it out of the Dow. And I just think there's so much better stuff out there. And I know GE was a great stock, but that was yesteryear. And I just don't think it's a great stock now. If you're looking for big conglomerates and things like that, something like a 3M is definitely better, even though that's no great shakes either in the Dow.
What are some of these segments of the markets right now that you do find attractive?
Well, strength remains in what I call the glamour growth names. You know, I don't know how far they're going to go. And, of course, we get start earnings in about 10 days and things can change. But, you know, Adobe, Apple, Amazon, Microsoft continues up, Netflix, NVIDIA. These are names that have led for a while, and I just haven't seen anything that's going to change that stance as of yet. So I think that's the play. And I think you got to look at the oil stocks. This is a real move in oil prices here, and the oil stocks have not been performing with the price of oil, and I think they're starting to right now. So I think you can start scanning those out too.
Thanks very much, Gary Kaltbaum, president of Kaltbaum Capital Management, Fox News business contributor in Orlando. And his website is GaryK.com.
Coming up, retailers gearing up for their biggest season of the year.
Conversation that's on the money. You're listening to the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
With Halloween on the way and Thanksgiving, Christmas, and the new year not far behind, retailers are rolling out their plans for the holiday season. Let's get a preview from Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO of J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide, based in New York. Jan, what are you expecting here for the holiday season? Things are going to be pretty busy?
Well, I'm very optimistic. Last year, the holiday season itself had about a 5.5% lift year over year. The poorest estimate I've seen this year is 4%, and the best estimate I've seen is to match last year at 5.5. I think it's going to be strong, though. I'm at the higher end. The consumer's in really good shape, and they've got plenty of money to spend, and their credit's in good shape, and everybody's working, and it's hard to find what is going to go wrong this holiday season.
So do you see it broad-based, where there will be lots of things going on in retail? It's not just going to be the toys like the electronics and that kind of stuff?
It'll be very broad-based, and it'll be across a whole lot of categories and a whole lot of companies. It'll be more growth online than any place else. Online will grow 3 to 4 times as fast as total sales grow, but everything is going to be good, even brick and mortar.
Unemployment is at a record low, and does that mean that those who are employed are going to get a little more money than usual?
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, everybody wants to hire for the holiday season. And back in July, when I was out in stores, the help wanted signs were in every store. I don't know where we're going to get all these people that people want to hire as temporary help in the back of the year. I think almost everybody that wants to work for $12 an hour is working for $12 an hour. So I think it's going to be very tough on the hiring side. On the other hand, it's great for the employees because we are seeing wages rise for the first time in a long time. We've seen minimum wages go up as well. So, yes, it's good if you're the employee. It's a little tough right now if you're the employer to find people to work the registers and stock the shelves.
Join us at this time tomorrow for Travel Tuesday. Still to come, our Monday stock picker.
Loaning useful information each weekday. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Stock Picker Monday, sponsored by Geiger Wealth. Adam Sarhan is founder and CEO of 50parkinvestments.com and findleadingstocks.com in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Adam. And what's your first choice?
Thank you for having me. So the first choice today is Delta Airlines. We're all familiar with the big airliner. We've seen a lot of consolidation in the industry over the last decade or so, and the stock has benefited very well. We're also seeing the economy pick up as we head into the very busy Q4 holiday travel season. So with a strong economy, earnings are strong across the board, consumer sentiment and consumer spending is strong. That all bodes well for the travel industry, and Delta Airlines stock is very well positioned to take off from here, pardon the pun.
And anything else in that area, the transportation area that you like as well as Delta?
Yeah, other airline stocks also look attractive. JetBlue, which is one of the is also attractive. It has been underperforming its peers of late, but the stock is poised to break out. If it can get above 2014, stock looks like it has a lot more upside. That's JetBlue, the ticker symbol JBLU.
All right, Delta Airlines, the first pick, DAL is the ticker symbol. What's the second pick?
The second one is Micron Technology. This is a technology stock. Stock has done extremely well over the last, you know, several years. And since June, it's been pulling back, hit a high of 64, 66 a few months ago, and it dropped to about 45 and change where it is now, which is perfectly normal and healthy after a big move. In fact, the last year or so, it's been trading between 40 and 60, and right now it's in the lower half of the range. Once this stock consolidates the move and then starts going again, in other words, starts the rally, this could easily take off again and be one of the strongest stocks of the year.
So you, stronger stocks of the year. So you think that the potential rally in Micron is going to happen sooner rather than later?
Yes, because it's been consolidating for the last 10 to 11 months or so. And after, before that, it had a huge move. So there's two ways the stock can consolidate. It can either move the new base for a period of time, or it can move down. And the former is more bullish. So right now we're seeing Micron consolidate a very strong rally over 2016 and 2017. And eventually, it's a matter of time until it breaks down and goes up to the upside again and takes off. And during its rally in 16 and 17, it was one of the strongest stocks of the year. That means there's a lot of strong institutional demand and sponsorship for the stock.
Adam Sarhan, always appreciate you being with us. Adam's our Monday stock picker today. He's founder and CEO of 50parkinvestments.com and fineleadingstocks.com.
Some other business news today. The Italian coffee company Lavazza Group has acquired the beverage division of Mars Incorporated in an effort to expand its North American presence. Both companies are private. Financial details not disclosed. Mars Drinks makes the Flavia single service machine and the Clix vending machine.
If you missed any part of today's Noon Business Hour, we'll have the replay podcast available shortly at WBBMNewsRadio.com and the all-new Radio.com app. Podcasts of the Business Hour always available on WBBMNewsRadio.com and Radio.com. On that app, download it today if you don't have it. WBBM News Time, 12:55, wrapping up the Noon Business Hour with a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Sponsored by Baird, here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, the S&P 500 is just a few points off its highest ever level. Right now, the Dow is gaining 217 points, or almost 1%. NASDAQ up 20, S&P higher by 15 to 29.29. The number to beat at the close is 29.31. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is down about 0.25%. President Trump is celebrating a trade deal with Canada and Mexico that will replace NAFTA, saying it vindicates his strategy of threatening tariffs on trade partners. He's predicted the agreement will easily pass Congress, and the deal makes modest revisions to NAFTA, which Trump continues to call a disaster. While the accord is more than 1,000 pages long, investors think it's positive that, of course, terms have been reached at all, and that that's much better than any future trade uncertainty. Netflix is about to let you decide how your favorite shows will end. The streaming service is said to be developing a slate of programs that will let viewers choose the next storyline in a TV episode or movie. Viewers will get to choose their own storylines in one episode of the upcoming season of sci-fi series Black Mirror. Sponsored by Hiscox Small Business Insurance with Business, 25 and 55 from the Bloomberg Newsroom. I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.